peace through Jesus Christ, who is Lord of all. You know what has happened throughout Judea, beginning in Galilee after the baptism that John preached, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and power, and how he went around doing good and healing all who were under the power of the devil, because God was with him. We are witnesses of everything he did in the country of the Jews and in Jerusalem. They killed him by hanging him on a tree, but God raised him from the dead on the third day and caused him to be seen. He was not seen by all the people, but by witnesses whom God had already chosen, by us who ate and drank with him after he rose from the dead. He commanded us to preach to the people and to testify that he is the one whom God appointed as judge of the living and the dead. All the prophets testify about him, that everyone who believes in him receives forgiveness of sin through his name. Amen. A blessing of the Lord.
Thank you. Thank you, Sylvia. Well, we continue on with the story of Cornelius and Peter. And this is that occasion when Peter is at Cornelius' house. Cornelius is probably wondering how to behave, and I imagine Peter is asking the same question: how do I react in this kind of a situation? Because as we'll find out, it was a unique situation. You know, I guess ask myself the question: how do you and I behave in any given situation? You know, Lisa and I don't like going to ritzy restaurants for two reasons. One, they're expensive. But number two, don't know which fork to use. And you'll usually have to get dressed up a little bit. And I want to eat in comfort. I want to eat in a relaxed kind of setting. So we don't like doing that because we aren't sure what is expected of us in a ritzy restaurant. I don't know if any of you have been around royalty. How do you respond when you're around royalty? I guess it depends on what country you're in. Some countries, they kiss you all over the place. Some countries, the guys even kiss each other on the lip. And I'm like, that's not my culture. How do you react in any given situation? Some ask, how do you react in the church? Because some people are afraid to even come into a church that they've never visited before because they're not sure how the people are going to react, or maybe how the people are dressed, or maybe how they might be singled out when they're in church. You know, our church growing up used to, whenever a visitor would come into the church on Sunday morning, they'd make sure that you knew that they were a visitor. Hey, would the visitors all stand up this morning? And then some of them didn't want to stand up and say, hey, you're visiting, aren't you, this morning? And they'd stand up and be like, it was the culture of that particular church. That's what happened. Sometimes we don't know how to react. And here was Peter and Cornelius coming from two different worlds, in a sense. Cornelius was from the Roman world of being a centurion, being a soldier. And there's Peter, who was a Jew, who was taught like a Jew. And now Peter is arriving at Cornelius' house. Verses 24 to 26. Cornelius is very excited about this visit because we learned last week he heard in a vision. He saw in a vision what was going to happen. And this happens. He's so excited, he invites all his relatives and friends to come and listen to this one who he saw in a vision was going to come and talk to him about something he's missing. We talked a little bit about that last week. He's not sure what to do. Peter comes into the house, and what does he do? He kneels down before him in reverence. And Peter says, hold on here. Hold it. We're on even ground. We're on equal ground here. Do not bow down and reverence me, he objects. For he says in that verse, I am only a man myself. The only one we ought to bow down to is the Lord Jesus Christ. So here's Cornelius now awaiting what Peter is going to say. Cornelius was a God-fearer. He was someone who worshipped God but didn't understand the whole story. He didn't have the whole story, and this whole story was going to be laid out before him, and we're not even going to get into the wholeness of it this morning. Peter's epiphany as he comes into the house is this. He had the epiphany before that with the sheep and the unclean and clean animals all there together. He tells those that he's gathered there, verses 27 through 29, I am a Jew and I'm not supposed to enter your house. An Orthodox Jew was not supposed to enter a Gentile house so they would become unclean. But God told me otherwise. God told me otherwise. He said, go into that house. Cornelius is not unclean because he's a Gentile. The only thing that makes us unclean is we are sinners in need of a Savior. And both of them were in that boat, weren't they? No man is unclean or impure based on being a non-Jew. Why did you invite me? I'm not even sure Cornelius knew exactly why he had invited him, except that he had this vision and he felt his life wasn't complete yet. There was something missing from his life, and what really was missing from his life was an understanding of the one that God sent to take care of the issue that he had. And the issue that you and I have is that we are sinners. And as sinners, God being a just God demands that we pay for our sin. But we couldn't. How does a sinner pay for his own sin? Because he continues to be a sinner. Even in the Old Testament, we were told that it had to be an unblemished lamb that would be sacrificed for the sins of the people. Jesus was that unblemished lamb that was sacrificed for the people. Cornelius wanted to know more about what he was missing. He had been in prayer. He was seeking God. You know, I believe with all my heart, if a person is seeking God, God is reaching out to them before they start seeking. God is already there reaching out before we even start the seeking. And if we are seeking God, that God is going to reveal Himself to us at some point along the way. God's timing is perfect. We don't always understand God's timing. But Cornelius was in prayer and he was seeking God in verses 30 through 33. Peter as well. And God's guidance was given. Not always this clear in our lives, but clarity comes over time. I believe if we're seeking God with all of our heart, that clarity will come over time. There have been times in my life I wanted clarity a lot sooner than I got it. How about you? Yeah. Because sometimes you live in the fog of life, but you know what I've learned in the fog of life? I have to trust in that fog of life that God's leading me in the right directions. Just like sometimes you get the fog here in the Straits of Mackinac, and you hear those fog horns out there honking, letting people know where they're at. Sometimes in the fog of life, that's when you and I are forced to trust Him even more. In fact, I think that's really where the growing takes place, is in the fog of life. When we don't understand why we have to struggle the way we do, when we don't understand why this particular thing is happening to me, it's in that fog that we need to lean more and more heavily upon God. I think Cornelius was seeking God and he knew something was missing. And Peter was going to deliver the message to him of what he was missing. What God was telling Cornelius, He's also telling us, and that's why I titled the message this morning, We're in the Story. We're in the story too. God says in verses 34 through 38, in the verse He says, God does not show favoritism, Jew or Gentile. He accepts all who fear Him, it says, and does what is right. The good news of peace through Jesus Christ is offered to all who would receive it. You and I sometimes are a little bit more selective, aren't we? We're selective sometimes just in the way we find ourselves rubbing shoulders with or not rubbing shoulders with people who come into our sphere of influence. You know, we want to have people around us who are more like us, not those people that are different. They act different, they look different, they smell different, whatever it is. Says God doesn't show favoritism. And I'm grateful for that. That God would accept me, a Gentile, into His loving arms and into His kingdom. This Jesus, who Peter was talking about, was on display during the time of John the Baptist. He was loving and healing and listening to and around the people. And Peter is sharing this also with Cornelius. This started back, at least publicly, started back during the time of John the Baptist. This one who was on display, Jesus, He's the real deal. Because as He said, He died for our sin. He died on the cross. He gave His life that we could have eternal life. Imagine Cornelius when he's starting to discover this faith he had in God just wasn't complete. And now he was discovering the answer was in Jesus. The peace that he was missing was in Jesus. And He is the one who came. God's one and only Son came in human flesh to dwell a while amongst us and to die for our sin. Cornelius was experiencing that. And you and I too, we're in the story. We experience that too. Peter was telling Cornelius, we're telling you the story because we were actual witnesses. We have experienced what we're telling you about. And I'm here to say this morning that you and I are also witnesses, actual witnesses to the redemption that comes through Jesus Christ and God's love. If you have experienced it in your own life, in your own heart, you are an actual witness to God's transforming grace. We're in the story. We're in the story and we can tell others that Jesus did this for me. You don't have to be a biblical scholar. Tell people what Jesus has done in your life. Tell people how He has transformed you. Tell people how God has forgiven you of the crap that you've done in your life. God has forgiven you of all of that. And He's given you new life in Jesus. We have experienced as actual witnesses of God's redemptive love. We are told to tell others, just like Peter was told to tell Cornelius. And Cornelius was so excited about what he was going to hear and began to hear here. He wanted all his friends and his relatives to know. New Christians are more that way. They get so excited about what's happened to them, they want to tell everybody. And then there's us old geezers in Christ. We're established in the Christian faith. We've known Him for 30, 40, 50, 60 years. Why can't we be just as excited as they are about their newfound faith? And I think what we need to experience in our own life, and we're going to get into this a little bit more next week, is the filling of the Holy Spirit in our life. Whoever believes in Him receives forgiveness through His name. In verse 39, that's what he was telling Cornelius and all his friends and all his family. And what I want to say to that is, like I say, we'll continue this story next week. I believe that Jesus has given us something that is powerful. Jesus has given us the Holy Spirit that lives within each and every one of us as Christians. Ephesians 1 tells us that. It was a seal guaranteeing our inheritance. But there's a difference between you and I knowing we have the Holy Spirit living within us and being filled with the Holy Spirit, or as in some of the scripture passages, baptized in the Holy Spirit. And I want to share something with you this morning, and I'm not going to get into all the different understandings of that, except to say this. In the Greek, baptism, translated into English, two words that would be used to describe what baptizo is. It means to be immersed. Another word used to be overwhelmed. Think about this for a moment. To be immersed or overwhelmed. When we let the Spirit control our life, we are saying we want to be immersed by the Holy Spirit so that my life is totally controlled by God and not by what I think, what I want to do, what I think about people, whatever the case. Can you imagine what God can do in your life and my life if we are totally controlled, immersed, overwhelmed by the Holy Spirit of God living in our life? That's what it truly means to be filled by the Holy Spirit. To be baptized in the Holy Spirit is to be totally and completely controlled by the Spirit of God. Sometimes I'm not totally and completely controlled by the Spirit of God. I'm doing my own thing. My own selfish thing. But I want God to fill me with His Holy Spirit. We're going to read about that more this next week as we talk about how God can do that in our lives. Because guess what, folks? You and I are in the story. We've heard it. We've seen it. We've experienced it. We are changed. And God's call is going out to all who will seek Him. Cornelius and Peter and all those that we come in contact with. Let the Word of God take you where your sinful self may not let you. Can I end with that? Let me say that one more time. Let the Word of God take you where your sinful self may not let you. You know what that means? Being immersed and overwhelmed by the presence of God in your lives. Amen? God, thank You. Thank You for Cornelius and Peter and others in Your Word that share their stories with us about how You have changed and transformed their lives. And God, I pray that You would be in the business of changing and transforming lives here. Lord, help us to take it to the next level. I don't want people here this morning just wanting to come into faith in Jesus Christ so they can escape hell. They're missing a whole lot if that's all they think it is. I want people to come to You to realize what it means to be in a loving, intimate relationship with You. Being filled by Your Holy Spirit. Living in a way that is totally controlled by You and not by us. Free us to be living in that way. We pray it in Jesus' precious name. Amen.